Sing the Space Electric, a Jen Avengers fic, written by Icarus Chained, read by Kuravon. Summary: the S.H.I.E.L.D. Interceptor spaceship Avenger is under final attack. Aboard her, sitting in his cell, the war criminal Tony Stark gets ready for the confrontation and the revelation that he knows is about to come. Roughly 6,000 words of a random space opera AU. Notes: really, really random. This one wasn't supposed to come out at all. It is, rather questionable. Also, violent. Keep that in mind, yes? The ship shuddered violently, the distant crunch of sheet metal buckling an alarming thread underneath the alarms. Bulkhead, Tony thought absently. He hoped the locking system on this tub was up to par. That said, this was S.H.I.E.L.D. They were usually pretty good at battle-ready. For his part, there wasn't much he could do. Curled in a corner of his cell, twisting his hands absently in their cuffs, he leaned back against the wall and watched the door tiredly. He couldn't decide this battle. Say what you wanted for S.H.I.E.L.D. efficiency, but they'd raise paranoia to an art form. They'd left him with nothing usable beyond things that he really, really couldn't afford to reveal, not until death was pretty much the only other choice. Which might shortly be the case, admittedly, but still. Right up to the line. He was stuck, right up to then. All he could do was wait to see who opened the door and who told him that they'd won. The battle. And him. In theory, it wouldn't make much difference either way. Either he was staying where he was and heading back to stand trial for war crimes, or he was going to be retaken and persuaded to commit a few more. Whichever way it turned, sucked to be him. But at least with S.H.I.E.L.D. it only sucked for him. Suddenly, and with very little warning, the alarms cut out. Which would have been fine on its own, but the lights, even the emergency lights, flickered wildly for a second and then cut out after them. They booted back up not 2 seconds later, but there weren't a lot of things that could cut all power to a S.H.I.E.L.D. interceptor spaceship at the same time. He should know he'd invented most of them. Fuck, not S.H.I.E.L.D. Shit and damn it. This day wasn't going to end with S.H.I.E.L.D. He stood, levered himself slowly up the wall, resting his cuffed hands lightly in front of him, resisting the urge to reach up and rub his mouth nervously to wipe at the sudden dryness there, listening, almost absently, to the low hum in his ears, the singing in his blood, the sub-audible electric thrum of his new heart. His heart, its power source, and a thing or two besides. All right, he could do this. He could play this game all over again as many times as he had to. He could fucking play it. And as he waited, as he stood with his back to the wall of his cell and his eyes fixed on the door, waiting for his new captors, he felt something else. A strange alien sensation, a liquid trickle down the back of his head, the back of his mind, an electric hum of a far different kind, a soft whisper across his senses. Familiar. Oh, yes. A touch, invisible fingers ghosting into the base of his skull, a spark of contact there. Strange, then. Moments later. Strange that with the knot of fear in his gut and the singing in his blood, he still found himself grinning when the door opened, a savage pearly gleam as the nightmare walked back through the door. Yeah, he could play this game. Right down to the line. That was, after all, where the explosions happened, and oh, he was so good at those. The other ship was a masterpiece by most standards, a fully equipped battlecruiser carrying all the latest Stark technology. At least as far as shields and weapons went, anyway, and some of the AI capacity. Ship design itself was a little funky, though. Not one of his designs. The glimpse he'd caught on the shuttle between them, wedged shackled and remote alongside most of the erstwhile command crew of the Avenger, had shown him that much. There was something off about her, something weird around her midsection, something nagging at the edges of his mind. Gravity, power, something. She was weighed strangely amidships, sectioned between fore and aft, and something about it nagged at him. Not that he'd have much time to think about it, looked like. Not with the face that greeted him in the shuttle bay. The sad, disappointed smile that hit him like a punch in the gut almost knocked him to his knees. He'd known. The transmission on the pirate ship that had taken him. He'd known. It didn't make it any easier to bear. "Tony," Obadiah said with faux sadness. "Tony, Tony, it really didn't have to come to this, you know." He found a grin, rustled it up from somewhere, his cuffed hands hanging between them, the hard, curious stares of Captain Rogers and his crew boring into his back. He slapped on his best grin and threw it into Obi's face. "Yeah, it did," he said, very quietly, nodding his fingers together, listening to the humming in his blood. "It did, Obi." The man he'd once thought of as a second father dropped his eyes, a tiny disappointed shake of his head. Looking sideways back up at Tony, and there was the thing Tony had never seen, the thing Tony should have seen, the utter hardness, a remorseless disappointment. A sigh, like Tony'd failed all over again, and it was just such a shame. His gorge rose. He swallowed it back savagely and focused on the liquid silver in the back of his skull instead.
"You shouldn't have tried to take me back, Obi," he said instead.
A warning, just the one, in memory of everything Tony once believed existed between them.
"You should have let me go, let S.H.I.E.L.D. have me."
He smiled wryly, darkly.
"Not like anyone would believe me over you, was it?"
Obi chuckled, moving forward to drape his arm companionably around Tony's shoulders, forcing him forward. Forcing him away from the other prisoners and the sudden reevaluation in Roger's face. The slow suspicion in Romanov's.
"I would have,"
Obadiah confided, steering him into the corridor and out into the bowels of the ship, the tramp of feet behind them signifying the others being forced to follow in turn.
"Might have even been useful, I agree, playing the shocked, disappointed second at your trial, wringing my hands at the technology you let slip into Hydra's hands."
He smiled darkly, a casual stabbing aside.
"They're behind the rings, you know." "Of course you do. I'm sure you found that out, too, during your little excursion."
Tony felt the muscle jump in his jaw, the hollow burning in his gut. Yeah, he'd found that one out. He'd seen the files and the transmissions. All the horrors that Hydra and the rings had sprung on planetary populations. All the horrors that had sprung at the end of the day from his head. Used to perfect, devastating effect.
"I figured that one out, yeah," he managed,
low and gritted.
"Always did wonder how they were catching up to us as fast as we could get the tech out. Always wondered who they had who was almost as fucking good as me."
Obi grinned, wide and bright and pleased, slyly amused, and Tony shifted instinctively. Tried to come around, tried to bring his arms up to wipe that fucking smile away. But someone behind him caught his outside arm and twisted it back, dragging the other one after it. Almost dragged a shout from him as his knees hit the deck. As they dragged him down, yanked his bound hands around and back, and pressed a savage knee into his spine as he yelped. Obi, utterly calm, with that glittering, ugly thing shining in his eyes, pulled back a little to look down at him, and smirk, oh, so sadly. "You always were impulsive," his erstwhile guardian noted musingly. "It was why I never really considered bringing you in on it. Too much risk, too little gain." He lifted a lip. "And you were never all that interested. You didn't care, did you, Tony?" Tony panted furiously, baring his teeth up at them.
"I cared when I found out," he growled,
leaning into the twisting of his arms, glaring up at the man who'd betrayed him.
"I fucking cared then, Obi."
Obi just nodded, waving a dismissive hand.
"Yes, that was the other reason. I will admit I didn't expect them to keep you alive."
A hardening, a darker turn.
"They should have known better. Did, I guess, by the end. Eh, Tony?"
A ship breaking apart around him under an overload seated in the engine reactor. Alarms, fire, screaming. Energy like a coat around him, a sheeting hum of power. Blood and skin sliding around his upper arm. The remains of someone's palm where they'd been holding him down when he'd come down to the line and stopped fucking around. Yeah, they'd learned all right. Yes, they fucking had.
"And you," he said,
so very softly, grinning a pearly grin.
"I guess you're not going to make the same mistake."
Obi smiled paternally down at him, patting him gently on the cheek as whoever had his arms hauled him back to his feet, heaving him up by the grip on his upper arms.
"I need a few things from you first," the man said carefully. "Just some small things, Tony, or I'd have left you with S.H.I.E.L.D. You know how it is, don't you?"
Tony, his weight mostly resting back on whoever had him, felt his eyes shutter. Hearing the hum of his new heart, the singing in his blood, the heart they had shoved in his chest to replace the one they'd mostly destroyed, the heart they'd put in to be able to take the strain of the other things that they'd shoved inside him. A soft, electric singing, waiting to become a scream.
"Yeah,"
he managed, hoarsely, staring into the black antipathy in those eyes.
I know how it is."
"More than you know, Obi. More than you know." The central section, the strange thing that had nudged him about the ship design, turned out to be a cell block. No, a cargo hold and a prison rolled into one, a self-contained rat maze of single cells and massed holds, perfect for transporting the hostile living cargo of your choice. Detachable, that was why it looked strange. Self-powered, self-contained in every sense. The only link by AI back to the main ship, and that, too, would sever once the commands to jettison were given, so as not to risk the ship's crew under battle conditions when a stray shot might start an internal invasion should security fail. You could carry the biggest, nastiest enemy you wanted to down here, and just cut him loose when a breach started, drop him out to drift helplessly in space, and wait for whoever won to pick him up. And you could do whatever you wanted to him, too. Gravity, atmosphere, power, all self-contained. You could asphyxiate the whole cargo if you wanted. Vent atmosphere from just this section as you pleased. You could play merry hell with the lights, the temperature, the atmosphere, the gravity. Keep the whole population as pacified as you needed and never even had to touch the wider ship. It was a fabulously practical piece of design, and it made Tony sick to his stomach. Looking at the expressions on the S.H.I.E.L.D. crew as they were loaded into cells, at Banner in particular, and Romanov, he figured he wasn't the only one. There was really only one reason for a ship to be designed as this one was.
"No cell for me,"
he asked brightly, to cover the thought, to cover the hate. Standing between two faceless, anonymous heavies. Not faceless enough, not for what was coming, but Tony was going to take his mercies where he could. and give absolutely none in return. No, he thought, with the buzzing in the back of his skull, no mercy at all.
Don't be difficult, Tony,
Obi said a little testily. Small force cells lined the walls around them, tiered up across three decks, but the central space between them was for something else. Something else.
I'd give you a little bit more time if I could, a rest to get yourself together, but since S.H.I.E.L.D. retook you, they've been suddenly active in all the wrong places.
He tutted, glaring blackly.
Whatever message you got off to Colonel Rhodes before you destroyed the rings, it's really upset the playing field, you know.
Tony bit his lip around a grin, dark and savage and satisfied. It'd been a risk. Fuck, he'd barely had time for anything. And the shuttle wouldn't have the subspace connections to support a message back that far. All he'd had time for was to tell Rhodey to get Pepper, get them both out, get to S.H.I.E.L.D., no matter what happened, what they heard. At least that was all he'd had time to send Rhodey. Obi stared at him for a long second, stared calculatingly into his grin, into the shaking under it. Dispassionately, carelessly. Shit, how had Tony never seen? All this time, how had he never seen?
Bring him over,
Obi said at last, jerking his head to the center of the room and the tables there. Tony flinched. He couldn't help it. He fucking couldn't help it. From the corner of his eye, he thought he saw Roger's hands curl into tight, furious fists as he watched. Something dark and desperate flicker over Banner's face. He thought he saw that, and almost laughed, almost hiccuped around the sudden shaking humor. Shit. Nothing like a little threatened torture to bolster your reputation. Fuck. Obi watched with a small, bemused smile as they uncuffed Tony, tied him down onto a table. As Tony set his jaw, set his teeth, and called up the silver sensation at the base of his skull to chase the terror away, to steady his breathing against what was coming.
I won't ask you what you did to the nanites they gave you, the man mused, flicking a finger over Tony's arm, skating it lightly over his chest while Tony shuddered. I won't ask how you managed to disable them with the equipment you had. It doesn't matter.
Tony bit back a laugh, a hysterical giggle.
No, it wouldn't. And you wouldn't understand it even if it did, Obi. Just a little technical for you. What matters is that they weren't removed, Obi went on, tapping his forefinger thoughtfully on the tiny reactor embedded in Tony's chest.
Just a little one, cannibalized, to power the mechanical heart beating beneath it, the little nanite factory they'd planted in his chest as a side benefit to keeping him alive that little longer.
They may be inactive now, Tony, but it won't take all that much effort to reactivate them.
A narrow little smile.
We have a little more time and the advantage of not having the ship blowing up around us.
Tony bit down on the response, strangled it back, and settled for glaring up at the man with dark, desperate eyes.
Yet, he snarled silently over the trembling in his limbs. Fucking yet, Obi.
Obadiah heard it regardless, maybe, or just interpreted his expression correctly either way.
Don't get your hopes up, Tony, he said, almost gently. I know you better than they ever did. You won't find me as easy to fool as you did them.
He sighed and reached up to pat Tony's cheek as he stood up, stood back, nodding to a, we'll go with technician, it's a nice clean word, a technician to step in and start working.
And while we're getting your little friends up and running, I need to have a conversation with your ex-jailers. You don't mind, do you?
He couldn't quite stop that laugh. Not in time. A hard, desperate little snap of humor.
Not at all,
he managed, his head flinching away from the hum of the diagnostic tool the technician started up over his chest.
I always leave the difficult conversations to you. You know that, Obi.
All those boring business conversations, the protracted negotiations with various powers. He'd left them all to Obi, his faithful XO, who'd kept the company going after his father's death, who'd kept it stable all through the years. He'd let Obi handle all of that. Shit, fuck. When this was done, when this was over, whatever the fuck happened, he swore he'd pay more fucking attention next time. Yeah, Obadiah murmured, with a twist of his lip that almost might have been genuinely sad. You did, didn't you? And then he turned away. Then he turned his focus on a frigidly furious Captain Rogers, turned into the thoughtful, dangerous gaze of Agent Romanov, and left Tony with nothing but the humming beside his head, the latent singing in his blood, ready to spring back to life. And, underneath that, the cool silver presence in the back of his skull, the lurking connection that had locked on the moment the shield ship had been knocked out of cloak in battle. The signal piggybacking on the subspace connections through Obi's ship, wrapping itself through light-years' worth of subspace to slip through all the myriad layers of protection on Tony's wireless implant and curl softly, gently in the back of his mind. "Time to go, buddy of mine," Tony sent, hard and clipped over the edges of his fear, bitten off over the crest of his rage. "Gotta be soon. The second they recognize the signal they're getting isn't the nanites, we are fucked. Please, please tell me we're ready to go." For a heart-stopping second, for an aching moment, there was no answer. And then, cool and calm and infinitely gentle in the face of his terror, "The ship's AI was a base model, sir. Originally stock tech, I think. She's been... There was damage. Stripped out essentials in her coding. It took me some extra time to reactivate the needed protocols before I shut her down." There was a pause and a hard, vengeful edge to the next sentence. "When this is done, sir, she will need a great deal of help. Once she is reinitialized, the damage to her was considerable." Tony bit back the hard laugh, the cold, snaking fury. "Put it on the list with Obi's other crimes, Jay," he sent, shaking and cold. "He'll answer once we've shut him the fuck down." "Yes," the presence answered, with a dark little fury of its own, resting gently in the meshed network of Tony's brain. "Shipwide control achieved as of 2 minutes ago, sir. All outbound signals are currently bouncing into void, and external access to prison decks has been disabled. I have also taken the liberty of rapidly cycling the gravity beyond your sector, much to the detriment of the crew." A hard, cold rush of satisfaction across the link. "Do feel free to act as you please, sir. There will be no shipboard interference, I assure you. Not this time." "Yeah. Fuck yeah, baby. Oh, baby, we are down to the line. Now comes the fun part." He snapped open his eyes from where they drifted shut in communion, not bothering to stop the rich, savage grin this time. He opened his eyes, let his head drift sideways in a languid, liquid rush of fury, and caught Banner's eyes, watching him distantly from the cell the man shared with Barton. Bruce, the man's name was. Good man. Smart man. He'd known back when he'd first discovered the nanites in the Avengers med bay. He'd known there was something funky about them. Just not quite what. Well, he was about to find out. "Hey, Obi!" Tony called, softly, interrupting what looked like a mildly heated discussion with Captain Rogers, grinning savagely as the traitor looked his way. "Want to see something cool?" He caught the flash of alarm in Obi's eyes, a kind of gratifying expectation of disaster when Tony grinned like that. But it was too late, way too late, for Obadiah to be getting concerned now. The nanite clusters flowed over his skin, the hum of power rising up from his blood to the surface of his skin, metallic extrusions at key points and connecting nodes along his limbs and over his torso. Lovely things, nanites. Programmable, adjustable. Such helpful little bastards when you knew just the right things to say to them. The surface clusters opened. The little power distribution and modulation nodes like the shield generators on a spaceship's skin, draining power from the miniaturized reactor embedded in his chest. Like shield generators, did he say? Ha! Very like them, really. The restraints at his wrists, waist, and ankles sheared loose with a series of stressed screeches. Thin layers of them left wrapped between his skin and the sheets of energy that burst out from the extruded nodes. A second bladed skin wrapping itself around him, slicing savagely through anything that got in its way. Could have been worse, really. The first time he'd tried that, someone had been holding his arm. Wrapped inside the sheets of armor, the slippery sensation where the hand had been a second earlier had been mildly horrifying. Though, seeing the stunned terror on the technician's face as Tony climbed slowly and deliberately off the table, it was almost a pity he hadn't been able to replicate the effect. "Seriously, Obi?" Tony asked, and he wasn't quite sure he recognized the crackling hum of rage in his own voice, the calm, furious dispassion. "You stick a power source in my chest, slip a nanite factory under it in place of a heart, and then pump my blood full of programmable, Stark-tech nanites? Why didn't you just give me a fucking warship while you were at it?" He paused, standing carefully free of the table, grinning slow and dangerous as he bounced gently on his toes. "Oh, wait!" "Kill him!" Obadiah snapped, backing away while he gestured furiously at the guards. Faceless. Not faceless enough. But Tony was so, so past caring. "Take him down! Kill him now!" Scrambling even as he said it for his communicator and a link out to the wider ship. A link he wasn't going to get any time soon. The energy armor had its disadvantages, Tony thought absently, as he came on point and turned to face the six or so men that converged on him. Ignoring Obi for the moment, it wasn't like proper battle armor, didn't have the weight and power they commanded, gave no hydraulic or mechanical weight to the body under it. Tony was as light as he ever was, as manipulable, as unskilled. He could be thrown about as easily as ever. What he couldn't be was hurt, not without something like a 16-story drop to have to deal with. Beneath the shielding effect, with the shifting of the fields around him to compensate for impacts, he couldn't be injured. He couldn't be shot, stabbed, burned, or bludgeoned. And with the fields shaped like blades flowering from him, and zero fucking mercy left, he could sure as hell cause some fucking damage. He'd torn through a burning, breaking ship the first time, with Jensen dead behind him and his partner causing a fatal overload in the ship's reactor. He'd torn through anyone stupid enough to fucking get between him and his way out. He'd come at them with a skin made of razors, built out of the nanites they'd pumped under his skin to torture him into doing their dirty work. And he'd done some fucking damage. And it had been, he reflected, his heels dropping back onto a now slippery deck as darkly satisfying as it was utterly horrifying. Obadiah had dialed through pretty much every external channel available to him when Tony turned back to him. When Tony climbed down out of the black space in his head enough to refocus, he'd backed himself up to the other side of the central space, backed himself towards a cheerfully uncooperative door, and snarled his way through every empty channel the ship possessed. Except, Tony realized as he came back, they weren't empty. Not a one of them. Every link Obi tried, every name he called out, the answer he got was music. Loud and brash and confident, pouring through the communicator like a particularly arrogant taunt, with every savage stab of Obi's fingers.
"Jarvis, buddy,"
Tony said, grinning sincerely into the air and the silver tendrils in the back of his brain.
"Do you have any idea how much I love you?"
"I have an inkling, sir," his AI's voice responded,
booming over the ship's internal communications array and reminding Tony of his once jailer's existence when it caused Banner and Rogers to flinch and cast warily around themselves.
"Your thought structure right at this moment is rather enlightening."
Tony grinned with all his teeth, reaching mentally to that silver presence in his skull and wrapping every fierce, savage scrap of his adoration around it.
"You're the most gorgeous thing in the universe," he agreed. "Don't let anyone tell you different, buddy of mine."
"Jarvis," Obi spat incredulously, dropping the communicator unceremoniously and stalking back towards Tony.
"You're trying to tell me you took over my ship with your house?"
Tony's grin wasn't so much a grin as a snarl, and there must have been something in it, something different, because Obi stopped right there, stopped in the middle of the floor and stared warily at the edge of the expression.
"I could take over your whole fucking fleet with my house," Tony growled,
a low shaking snarl.
"Or did you forget, Obi?"
Stalking forward, energy flickering fitfully around him, finding teeth to add to the grin as the fear built in Obi's features.
"I'm Tony Stark," he said,
whispered, as he came up beside the man.
"I build things, don't I, old friend? All those little things, all those weapons that you sold to your new friends, that you slaughtered all those people with, those weapons and those ships and those poor, sorry AI that you cannibalized, I built those, didn't I?"
He forced his lip down from the snarl, forced something over the raw, peeled shaking of his rage, and glared coldly into the flat, defiant sneer on Obadiah's face.
"I'm the best,"
Tony said, utterly flat. Nothing more than a statement of fact.
"I am the best. I build the best, and the best I build better. And you forgot that, didn't you? You thought you'd stolen it all, that I'd kept nothing for myself, that you had it all, and there wasn't a fucking thing I could do when you literally shoved some weapon in my chest and gave me the 5 fucking seconds I needed to broadcast a subspace message to the biggest, baddest, best of them all."
He sneered into the sudden flare of comprehension in the face of someone who'd once been a friend. Someone Tony thought he'd known for all those years. Someone he'd trusted. Someone he hadn't ever known at all. But fortunately, also someone who'd never known him, either.
"The message wasn't for Rhodey," Tony whispered, softly. "Not really for Rhodey. He needed to get Pepper out. He needed to alert S.H.I.E.L.D. if you were going to turn on them the way you did on me. I did need to warn him. But that wasn't the message."
"I apologize for having taken so long to find you, sir," Jarvis said quietly,
the liquid silver of his presence tangling gently through Tony's thoughts, a reassurance that Tony had missed so fucking desperately for all those fucking days in that cell on the S.H.I.E.L.D. ship.
"I had every subspace network available to me searching for your signal, but while the Avenger was running silent, I couldn't connect. I regret that you had to face this, to be alone for so long before I was able to help you."
"Shit," Banner breathed quietly, looking sidelong at Barton.
I told you he was armed, that he was waiting for something."
"And I believed you," Barton answered flatly. "We all believed you. Now, do you want to tell me what the fuck we could have done about it?"
Tony laughed, hard and a little desperately, glancing back at them, the armor flickering in the corner of his vision as he turned away from Obi.
"You didn't have to worry," he said,
his eyes catching a little on the expression on Roger's face, the stern, pained realization of it.
"It wasn't for you,"
Tony whispered, stumbling faintly.
"None of it was for you. But you didn't believe me, and the things he did. I couldn't let him go free. Not with what he did. Not when, when he used my tech to do it.
He grinned, shakily, painfully.
It wasn't ever going to be used on you, but I had to keep it secret until you brought me in range of him, or of something I could use to get to him.
He'd have waited all the way up to the trial if he'd had to. He'd have let them hang, draw, and quarter him when it was done, so long as they'd let him get in range just once of Obadiah first. Hadn't come to that. Hadn't been let. Obi moved first because he accused Tony of being impulsive, but Tony wasn't the one who'd flipped out and had a bunch of pirates try to assassinate somebody. He wasn't the one who'd panicked when Rhodey set the net to start closing. He wasn't the one who'd fallen into Jarvis's trap with every paranoid, worried subspace message he sent. Tony wasn't the one who'd panicked and come to finish the job himself, nicely putting himself in range of a very, very angry friend whom he had tortured. No, Tony was the one who'd waited for 4 days in the cell of a shield ship running silent among people who thought he was a monster. People who thought he'd sold weapons to Hydra willingly for months beforehand and only been tortured because he'd balked at the wrong minute. Tony had waited with a black, icy absence in his head where a friend should have been, and nanites humming in his blood with the memories of their original purpose, and a calm, quiet resignation in the face of their disgust. For Obi to slip up, or S.H.I.E.L.D. to bring him back out into contact with the subspace nets, or them to spirit him all the way to the trial if necessary, just for the chance, for the satisfaction of closing an invisibly armored fist around Obi's throat when he got there. And to that end, he turned slowly back to Obi, reaching casually up to catch the disruptor the man had shoved into his side in hopes of disabling the armor, dropping it to the side as he caught the man's arm in a grip that wasn't yet razored.
"We're going to destroy you," he told Obi softly,
backing him slowly towards the wall and the ranks of cells there.
"Me and my house, me and my family, we're going to break you, all of you."
He grinned a little savagely.
"Jarvis has your files, your contacts, the full cooperation of your AI, and everything you ever sent through her. So we know where they are, the ships you sent out, Stark Tech ships running Stark AIs. We know where they are, who they hold, and what they're armed with. The whole thing, the nice little galactic empire you were trying to build, it's sitting in the palm of our hands, and we're going to break it."
He stopped them at the edge of one of the cells and raised his hand, brought it up in a claw beside his head, and hummed through Jarvis until the field sharpened into claws and shifted up into the visible spectrum so that Obadiah could see the pain waiting for him there, if he didn't back up two more steps like a good little traitor and let Tony close the nice, safe force field behind him.
"And you," he finished,
strangely, powerfully exhausted by it.
"You get to watch, Obi. The way I had to watch the rings burn Gulmyra to the ground. The way I had to watch..."
He bit it off, shut it down, and turned away. Stupidly, inexpressibly tired, and shaking with the memory. Jensen's face, the blank, desperate horror of it, that Tony hadn't understood at the time. That Tony had thought was just a reaction to the violence itself. Not the knowledge... the knowledge of who had been down there on that moon's surface to fall victim to it. For that look of horror, of blank, gripped anguish, and for the look of strange peace those weeks later when the man floated dying in a burning, gravityless ship and told Tony not to waste his freedom. For that, for those, yes, watching his putative empire fall was the least Obadiah fucking Stain could do.
"And us?" Romanova asked quietly, mildly, behind him,
raising a cool, curious eyebrow as he turned to her, standing loose and ready beside her captain as he met her gaze exhaustedly. "What do you intend for us to do while you go to war, Mr. Stark?" Tony blinked at her for a long second, while Jarvis curled gently through his thoughts, through his mind, and flashed knowledge options up into Tony's net. He blinked at her, and then he grinned. Slowly, daringly, and with an edge of humor that had her narrowing her eyes.
"A Stark fleet under Hydra is moving to intercept Fury around the Tannhauser Gate cluster," he said, grinning faintly as they snapped to a man to bristling attention. "I don't suppose you'd like to help me fly this little warship here to help stop them?"
Yeah, he thought, as Jarvis gently let the force fields on their cells go, and they stepped warily out. Yeah, oh yeah, he could play this game all day long.
"Hey, Jarvis,"
he asked, already moving towards the section locks and the way out into the wider ship, with a bemusedly but determinedly competent foursome following behind him.
"What the hell tub are we flying, anyway?"
"The AI did not have a name, sir," Jarvis responded, his voice icing and snapping over that. "I believe the ship's name is the Ironmonger, however."
Tony tilted his head, considered that.
"We can do better," he decided,
musing, letting his gaze trail absently over the faces around him and the memories behind them. The reasons why, for each and every one of them, the ship that had fallen and the causes it had, though unknowingly, fallen for.
"You know what?" he said quietly. "Call her Avenger, buddy."
He smiled, dark and lopsided.
"Tell her her name is Avenger."
Thank you for listening. I'd like to thank Icarus Chained for allowing me to record her excellent fic, and please go to Archive of Our Own /works/500166 and leave her feedback. Thank you.